You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is still the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. My name is Malvin Makiche, and of course, on a lazy Sunday, this is what we get to do. We get to open up the Bible, and in particular, we kick off the show with our relationship insight. So, of course, relationships, like I always say, are very essential. The Ten Commandments, if you look at them, you find that a big portion, if not six, isn't it? Six of the Ten Commandments have to do with the relationship between a man and a man, okay? Which is critical, which means that the relationship between you and I is very critical as far as our salvation and our survival on earth is concerned, okay? So that's the reason why we're always talking about families and relationships in general on this particular show. And of course, on Relationship is Inside, we always make sure that we are talking about the issues that affect our families. And today we are back with a topic that is very, very crucial. Okay, so this is something that a lot of people don't get to plan, but one way or the other, we find ourselves being part of families that are described as blended families. Okay, so it comes through because of different circumstances. Okay, some because of death, some because of divorce and things like that. So blended families is amongst us, and it's a reality that you and I have to face each and every day. And we also have to learn to navigate, you know, in our blended families. Because at the end of the day, we have to be saved whether we're in a blended family or not. All right. So this evening, I've got a man who's going to be opening up the Bible to tell us more about this particular subject that is of blended families. And that's none other than my elder Justice Potaringa. Okay, so let me take this opportunity to welcome you to the program. Welcome, Elder, to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right, so we're going to be talking about blended families. Wait. I understand you've been leading a family life program in the past week. Yes. If you can just briefly tell us what you were, the words that you were telling to the church in this past week.
All right, in this past week, we have talking about family life. We are image bearers.
Yes.
When Jesus comes again, he is going to take families, as we shall discuss. He will take families. We are the stewards of our families.
Yes.
So we have to make sure that they maintain the image that Jesus wants to come and take from this earth. And as a family, we have to be together in this. As we shall discuss, we may fail to go to heaven if we fail to raise our children the right way.
Yes.
So we have to train them, we have to mold them, we have to make sure that they are the best that we can make. But without Jesus, it is impossible. Without Holy Spirit, it is impossible. We want the Holy Spirit to help us, so that when we raise the families, we raise them in the right way that God wants.
Okay, yes. Okay. Now the scary part is you're saying that we may fail to get to heaven because of our inadequacies as far as raising a family is concerned. Now that's mind-boggling, but nonetheless, tonight we're going to be zeroing in on a unique kind of a family setup.
Yes, yes.
Which is a blended family.
Blended.
And I understand that in the Bible, we also find blended families.
Yes.
This is not something that is just new to the 21st century.
Yes.
Yes. So we've got a number of blended families in the Bible. So maybe if you can zero in and give us from the Bible what the Bible says about blended families. So if you can take it away, Mayor.
No, what happens is this. Every family that is blended have its own challenges. For instance, we can take the family of Jacob. They sold Joseph to other tribes because he was the son of another mother.
Okay.
So amongst the children, it's tricky. It's more tricky.
Yes.
The parents makes it even worse. If they cannot handle it very well, we'll end up having other people murdering their siblings. So blended families are so tricky. You know, when we read the Bible in Malachi chapter 4, it says, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." When Jesus comes again for the second time, when our families will be in this situation whereby they won't be together, their hearts will be separate, a case will come for us. This means we won't be saved.
Okay.
If we are not together, intact with our families. So we have to return to each other. Father and his family, they should come together. Their hearts should be knitted together. So that when Jesus comes again on the dreadful day, he will not curse the fathers and their families.
So this is some serious business.
This is serious business.
It has to do with our salvation.
Yes.
The way we are conducting our
families. We have to put ourselves together so that when we are dealing with a problem, we deal with that problem together. When people are in their separate ways, in separate minds, they have problems. They won't come up with something that is tangible. So we have to be together as a family. Family unit is needed.
Family unit is needed. Like I say, I think there's a saying that says that a house divided will soon fall. So family unit is needed. Wow. Yes. Now that's beautiful. Now that's beautiful right there, Elder. So let's take a case study. You touched on a particular case study this particular Sabbath that was pretty interesting. Okay.
Yes.
So if you can jump into that case study from the Bible and let our listeners know what some of the issues that you are talking about, you know, how they can affect us if we allow ourselves to be divided, so to say.
Okay. In Judges chapter 11, verse 1 to 8, I will read, then I'll explain.
Yes.
Judges chapter 11, verse 1. "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art a son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelled in the land of Tobi. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him." This is Jephthah. Jephthah's problem was not born from him, but from his father. His father engaged in a strange woman, as they explained.
Yes.
She was a harlot. But he went on to be in love with that. As a result, 9 months later, a bouncing baby boy was conceived, and his name was Jephthah.
Okay.
And Jephthah grew up thinking that this is my family.
Yes.
But his father married another woman who became his wife.
Okay.
The wife of Gilead gave him, kind of bear him, a children, boys. In the course of time, as they grew up, they knew that Jephthah was not supposed to be in their family. They were the only ones who were supposed in that to be in that family.
Okay.
It ate their hearts that we cannot share our inheritance with someone from a strange woman.
Yes.
His father didn't have a problem. He said to his harlot, "You see, I cannot marry you. But my son, I will take."
Okay.
We don't know about the woman, what happened to her. But the issue is, Jephthah is now entangled in the politics of his father, who failed to control his appetite for other women.
Okay.
And he was born. You know, the plight of these children, those who are born outside the marriage,
institution, yes,
they have this problem. Some of them end up in the street. Some of them end up committing heinous crimes,
yes,
like as we saw. The men of Tob were evil. They went to Jephthah because the introduction says he was a man of valor, a gifted man, a mighty man.
Okay.
That is the introduction before they introduce his mother. They introduce his, what he was.
What he was. His qualities.
His qualities.
As a man.
As a man.
And then I'm seeing one thing here, Elder, before we proceed.
The issue here is, like you said, is stemming from Jephthah's father.
Yes.
Okay. Jephthah's father is the one who committed a crime. I don't know. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the man who's the root cause of all this dilemma that we end up seeing in this particular book.
Yes.
Okay. It's because of his decisions.
In most cases, they are the chief
culprits of all this.
Yeah.
So what does it say, especially to men in this era, about the issues of the decisions that we make? You see, because sometimes I feel like as men, we feel like maybe we can just get away with it. You know, some people have got a girlfriend in every province, every town they go for meetings, they leave a child there, every place that they go, they do their shenanigans. And people think maybe it's a today's thing, but look, even back then, we've got men, great men like Gilead. Okay, so because Gilead, it seemed like he wasn't someone to play around with. He was a mighty man himself.
Yes.
And we have mighty men out here, wealthy and everything like that. And they think that maybe whatever that they're doing will not catch up with them.
The past will always catch up with us. If we make a bad decision today, tomorrow it will manifest itself. I remember Hezekiah. When the Babylonians came to him, he showed them everything.
Okay.
And Prophet Isaiah came to him and told him that your sons will be eunuchs in the Babylonian Empire,
yes,
after you die.
Yes.
And he said, as long as it's not within my days, the message is so good. Forgetting that his sons, we have to be careful on what will befall our families when we die.
Another serious one.
Now that's some serious stuff right there. Okay, anyway, I just disturbed you as you are proceeding with this story of Jephthah. If we continue now, and touch the next part you're about to touch?
You know, we have problems with these families. You know what happened to Jephthah? Jephthah lived a tough life, a hardening life.
Yes.
But remember, when they chased him away, they were chasing away a man of valor, a mighty man from their families,
yeah,
which they were not.
He had certain qualities that every other child of Gilead did not possess.
Yes.
Wow, no, that's something.
In every family, we have people who are born to save families.
Okay.
So if you are not careful enough, we'll send them away.
Yeah.
And they will benefit other people.
Yes.
Other tribes, which were not supposed to benefit. Just imagine people from Tobi.
Mm.
Bad people for that matter.
Yeah.
Incorporating a good and talented young man to do their raids.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
But I can draw back a bit.
Okay.
About the story of Jephthah. What happened to them? You know what happens?
Mm-hmm.
When you are not from that family or from that mother, you have problems. Your education. Your education.
Yes.
You won't get good education.
In most cases.
You will be enrolled in poor schools.
Mm.
Bad schools.
Yes.
The work that you do, you'll be heading cattle. Thorns will be piercing you.
Mm.
You'll be coming across many dangers just because your mother is not there. Mm. So you'll be suffering a lot.
Yes. Yes.
So Jephthah lived through this kind of treatment.
Mm.
And the brothers united and chased him away.
Yes.
We may chase our blessings from the blessed. So let me continue.
Yes.
Let me continue. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tobi. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah, out of the land of Tob. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress?
Mm.
And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead.
Mm.
You see now, when the problem comes, they remembered Jephthah. News were filtering through the air and reaching how mighty Jephthah was.
Yeah.
And they knew they needed Jephthah.
Mm.
And Jephthah had his own thoughts.
Mm.
He said, you chased me away, and now that you are in distress, you are coming back to me. They swallowed their pride, the elders. They swallowed their pride.
To go and call Jephthah.
To go and call Jephthah.
But are we seeing Jephthah asking a very vital question here, Elder?
Yes.
Why are you turning out to me? Okay, that's it. And I guess we might be having a lot of jifters out there.
Yes.
Men and women out there who could be left listening who are probably in that very, very same situation. And someone who did them dirty somewhere, somehow in this life is now coming back to them, asking them for help. Now they're asking for school fees. Now they're asking for medical bills, for their medical bills to be paid to that very person that they chucked out. Now, this is painful. And I guess maybe this is where, what can you say, Christianity now comes into play.
Yes.
You've got people who wronged you to the core. Okay. And now they come asking for help. Is it a problem? Someone might be asking themselves, but is it a problem when I ask these very same people who did me wrong, what is it that you are now seeking from me? Are you not the very people who chucked me away? Are you not the very people who chucked me from my mother's house or from my father's house or wherever that I was supposed to be? Mm. So how do you address someone who is in this situation right now?
You know, they are saying, come and be our commander.
Yeah, okay, it's not just come.
It's a rank.
Okay, it's a rank that is being given.
Yes. Mm. But you know what? Blessings that we have are not for us. We are avenues that flow to other people. We don't live for ourselves. We live for others. Jephthah knew where he belonged.
Despite the shenanigans that it happened.
Yes, he knew where he belonged. If you know where you belong, you won't have a problem. But if you don't know where you belong, you will have problem. If you know why you are where you are, you know what to do.
Mm. But it takes a great deal of forgiveness, because maybe there's a lot here that was not written, but it had to take a great deal of forgiveness for Jephthah to allow these people. In fact, to allow himself to go and help these very people, his people.
Mm. Do you know what? Mm. Jephthah asked a vital question. He said, "You chased me away.
Yes.
You are here because you have problems."
Exactly.
He had to remind them.
Okay.
So that in the near future, they won't make the same mistake.
Okay. Now that's a very powerful one, because had it not been for the fact that these people were under attack, they would have probably forgotten about Jephthah.
Jephthah would have died in the land of Tobi,
unknown to them.
Being a criminal.
Yes.
Because those guys were criminal.
Yes. And we have great people, a lot of people who look for people simply because they want something. Had it not been of a problem, if it's not someone who has gotten sick, they will not look for you. If it's not an issue of school fees, they will not look for you. Okay, so that's the, I guess maybe we can say that hypocrisy, if I can put it that way, hasn't started today, has it?
Is it?
I don't think so.
Okay, why you say so?
I think it was their turning point, realization.
Okay.
If you realize that you left behind something that is important to you, we have to go back and reconcile with that thing that you need.
Oh, all right.
I think they learned their lesson. You know, they were proud of being the Gileadites.
Yes.
The sons of Gilead.
Okay.
They were very proud of being that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's not enough to be the son of Gilead. Because you don't have everything that you need just because you have a name.
Yes.
Something that you need is possessed by someone else.
Okay.
Because, you know, we are a family.
Okay.
We are a body that has many parts.
Okay.
You cannot do without your hands.
Yes.
Maybe Jephthah was the hand that was supposed to lift the sword.
Yes.
and the others were just legs.
They
were just supposed to walk. So they realized that I need this hand. So I have to communicate so that we can go to war.
Okay.
That is what happens in life.
So it was a turning point.
It was a turning point.
So it's not just your name, like you said.
It was good for Jephthah. It was good for them. Because they needed each other.
Okay.
Because one day, you will need them.
Those very people.
Jephthah knew that.
Okay.
He could not live as an island.
All right.
He needed his family. You remember the verse that we read?
Yes.
Elijah will come. And he will turn the hearts of the father to their sons.
Yes.
And the hearts of the sons or children to their father.
All right. So there's a great union.
Reunion.
All right.
Yes. All
right. And we're seeing it right there in the story of Jephthah.
Of Jephthah. Do you know what? We may have good life. Everything that we need in our life.
Okay.
That was the family of Gilead. They had everything. They spoiled their sons maybe with the best schools.
Yes.
Best food. Best everything.
Yes.
But all of them were cowards.
Okay.
Ndonda.
All right.
They could not fend for their land. The land that carried their name. The sons of Gilead.
They were mountains.
Mountains of Gilead.
That were named after their...
After their ancestor. Their father.
Yes.
So they were great people.
Yes.
But they could not fend. They needed Jephthah. Jephthah is a son of Harlot, yes. But sometimes we see that God specializes with the underrated people. He specializes in them.
Okay.
You remember Joseph?
Yes.
He was underrated. But at one time, he became the strongest governor.
In Egypt. The most powerful country in the world.
Yes. And he ruled Egypt. God gave a special message to us. Those who are downtrodden. When Jesus came, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He ordained me to preach the gospel of liberty to those who are under oppression.
Yes.
You know what? That is the story to those who Jephthah's around. The Lord is with you.
The Lord is ordaining you.
Yes. To be a great man. But you know what? Sometimes people fail to accept what they can do. It's one thing to be chased away by people. It's another to be chased by God.
Okay.
If people chase you away and God is with you,
Ish.
You are the greatest.
Okay.
But if God forsakes you, you will be a nobody.
Ish.
And Jephthah hid the blessings of the Lord.
Wow.
All okay. Right. Now that's something. That's something right there. I guess all the Jephthahs out there should know that the Lord is with them.
Yes.
And you will not forsake them. Now that's quite something. And on a Sunday like this, I'm praying that somebody out there is going to start a week knowing that the Lord is with them. It's better to be chased away by people than to be chased away by the Lord. So as our time is concluding, Elder, what more can we say as far as this topic is concerned?
Okay, let me read chapter 11. Maybe let me finish.
Yes.
Then the spirit of it's verse 29. Mm-hmm. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed over Mizpah and Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of my doors to meet me, then I'll return, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, I'll offer it before the Lord. And Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon and fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyard, with the very plain of the vineyards, with very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Then Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. One thing that we know, when we pledge to the Lord, it is good to be like Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, if I return safely, I'll give you tithe and offerings.
Okay.
You see that? Mm-hmm. Be specific on your vows to the Lord.
Okay.
Because if you say anything, it will be a bad thing for you, even your memories. Just imagine the only begotten daughter being made as a sacrifice. He should have said something clear. Lord, if I return safely. It's a lesson to us. We don't have to make blind promises to the Lord.
Okay.
We have to be clear.
All right.
Jephthah was pained.
Okay, now look. Here's the thing, what I'm seeing here. So we're seeing a mighty man of valor here.
Making a bad decision
in the end.
Yes.
Okay. After having talked to God, after having conquered, and the Lord was with him throughout his battles. So in other words, we're saying you could be a mighty man of valor. You could be a man God is walking with and leading.
Yes.
But that does not mean that you are susceptible to mistakes.
Yeah. We always make mistakes.
Mm.
What causes mistakes?
That's a good question.
You know, Gilead made a mistake.
Yeah.
Of going to a harlot.
Yes.
Which was deadly to his son, Jephthah.
Yes.
And Jephthah made a mistake of promising God that anything that comes will be for you.
Yes.
Because he was a rich man. He thought he could be made by bulls. He could be made by sheep. But instead, his daughter came. And she was sacrificed. Because that was his promise. The good part is, he did what he promised to the Lord. But the bad part is, that which he promised was not pleasing to him when it happened. We don't have to have blind faith.
Okay.
We have to be, to see.
And then I'm also saying one thing. Jephthah here ended up sacrificing his only begotten child. And then that was very painful to him.
Yes.
And then God did the same thing. I guess him offering Jesus for our sin was just a spin.
And then I'm also saying one thing. Jephthah here ended up sacrificing his only begotten child. And then that was very painful to him.
Yes. Okay.
And then God did the same thing. I guess him offering Jesus for our sin was just as painful.
Yeah, you can say so. But it's different.
But these are two
paradigms.
They all gave their only child.
Jesus was supposed to be the savior of the world.
Oh, okay. Yes, or that was his destiny.
That was his destiny.
And not Jephthah's daughter.
Not Jephthah's daughter.
Okay.
You know, in some cases, we make very big mistakes.
Okay.
In our decisions. And I think we have to be clear to the Lord. Lord, if you bless me, I'll build you a church. That is specific. Lord, if you bless me, I'll give you 4 bulls that will be sold to take care of orphans. That is specific. But you say anything that comes before me becomes yours. It's a lesson. You know, we have been discussing about blended families. And the blended families, that case study was Jephthah. We have points to ponder on. One, it is God's design that we belong to a family.
All right.
It's his design.
Yes.
And he gave us times that we live that we cannot pass.
Okay.
We have to accept the time that we live in. We have to accept our families. We have to accept those who are called by our name, our father's name, into our family. We have to be in one accord with as a family. No matter what we feel, we have to bury the hatchet. We have to bury the sword and know that this is my father's son. He is my brother. They should have respected Jephthah. Because as a family, I know that as children, we come across bullies. Jephthah protected them. But they had the audacity to chase Jephthah away. Their protector at tender age. But they could not stand the armies of Ammon coming to them. Chasing away a brother, not fighting for your rights. It's very bad. We have to think twice before we chase away our relatives. We have to go and take the Jephthahs in the streets or who are being kept to our in-laws, former in-laws, their mothers' families. They have to benefit because they belong where you are. We have to be very careful. If we don't want to have Jephthahs, we have to marry one wife and stay as one thing. We know mistakes happens and other things like death happens. But if it's death, it's the law of life. We have to take care. We have to decide well when we're dealing with these issues. Family issues are tricky. But what I know is, it's not a mistake being in your family. Even from another mother or from another family, from another father. You belong there. You have to accept that. And the other siblings, they should accept you because you are one of them. Okay, sometimes there are problems when dealing with the blended families.
Of course.
The mother may be good you'd be commanding as a mother. Mm-hmm. But would Jephthah accept? You'd say, just because she's not my mother, mm-hmm. that is why she's treating me like this.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've got so many of those cases, of course, the elder. I think maybe we would have to make another program specifically to address such people who are being kept, you know, who have been taken in. But they themselves, they're just ungovernable. I don't know
always
if I can put it that.
Always complaining.
Yes, yes, yes. And causing problems.
They never say, she's my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I have to accept it.
Yeah, you know, so we have so many of those people. It's unfortunate, you know, that we've run out of our time. But nonetheless, as we conclude this, I just want us to pray, Elder, for the different gifters out there who are probably in different circumstances. Some, they are faced with the question, why are you looking for me? Some are still asking themselves questions. They are still out in Toby.
Mm.
Out there, they've been forsaken and forgotten.
Why are they forsaken?
Yes. Yes, asking so many questions. So we've got people who are in different circumstances right now, you know, as far as this issue of blended families is concerned. I think if we can just put those people in the hands of the Lord, you know, as we close.
Okay, let's pray. Our loving Savior, we come to you today. We have our relatives who are still in Toby. They are asking why they are there. Lord, show them mercy. Show them the way to where they belong. Even there are some tricky situations which are even affecting them. Help them to find solace in your hands. We know you are a loving God who cannot forsake us, and you cannot forsake them. Maybe we are the chief culprits who brought up the Jephthahs and we could not stand for them. Help us to have courage to bring them back, give them love that they need, and give them everything, education, food, and everything that they need. Lord, help us to repent to those who caused problems for others. Help us for family members who cannot cope with others, help them out. Lord, help us so that when you come, you won't give us a case because we won't be together with our families. Help us to be with them when you come back again. In Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. And of course, in case you're wondering, that was Elder Justice Mpotaringa. He's been here giving us a very, very insightful lesson pertaining mixed families. And of course, we're zeroing in on the book, the story of Jephthah. So which leads me to thank my elder for coming through to the studio to give us such a powerful, powerful lesson. So Elder, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. And hopefully that you'll be able to come through once more here and there so that you can give us more of these very, very insightful gems from the Bible. All right, so stay with us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
You are listening to the Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.